I like that. Amazing love. Have you stopped to think about that recently? That God in His grace would look down from heaven and see us in our sinful condition and choose to love us with such a depth of love that He would give the gift of His only Son to die a substitutionary death for the forgiveness of our sins. Wow. Father, speak to us this morning. You've moved in our midst, and our people have welcomed You with their praise. We can join with David in saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord if we left right now. But Lord, You've got a word to speak to us. And once again, I pray that You would increase and I would decrease. I pray that You, through Your divine power and mercy, would speak through these feeble lips of clay. That You would take the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and cause them to be pleasing to You and clear to those who hear Your word today. I pray that if there's one within the sound of my voice that has not yet opened up their hearts and accepted this amazing love into their lives by trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord, that before we approach the table, that today they would recognize that amazing love was a demonstration of Your love for them personally, and today they would enter into that relationship with You as Savior and Lord of their lives. God, thank You for this day. Bless and move, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Mark the 15th chapter. We're going to look at verses 22 through 39 together. When you've found that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to stand together at the very foot of the cross of Calvary. As we read the scripture, I want you to enter into the setting, as it were, on that fateful day. I recognize that it takes just a tad bit of imagination, but let's get a realistic look in our mind's eye of what that day was like. There is a dark and ominous cloud that covers what's going on that fateful day as Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is nailed to a tree and then raised between heaven and earth, shedding His life's blood because He loved Donnie Harbors, because He loved Rick Grant, because He loved you. He endured this. And that dark, ominous cloud that permeated the world on that day is a cloud that we must deal with even on this day. We began reading in the 22nd verse. It says, they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the skull place. They tried to give Him wine mixed with myrrh, but He refused it. There they crucified Him. They divided His clothes. They cast lots for them to decide what each would get. Now it was 9 a.m. when they crucified Him. The inscription of the charge written against Him was the King of the Jews. They crucified 2 criminals with Him, one on His right, one on His left. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, and He was counted among the outlaws. Those who passed by were yelling insults at Him, shaking their heads and saying, ha! The one who would demolish the sanctuary and build it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests and the scribes were mocking Him to one another and saying, He saved others, but He cannot save Himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with Him were taunting Him. Then when it was noon, darkness covered the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, look, he's calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, fixed it on a reed and offered it him to drink, and said, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. But Jesus let out one last cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who was standing there opposite of Christ saw the way he breathed his last, he said, this man really was the Son of God. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I dare suggest that we could begin to imagine the eeriness of the hour that transpired, the darkness of the cloud that covered that place called the skull as Jesus willingly laid down his life and died for us upon the cross of Calvary. It was a dark and ominous day, and I would say to you today that it's worth looking at some of the clouds that made this a particularly dark day in human history. I would propose to you that first there was a dark cloud because of rejection. You see, only a few hours earlier, Jesus had made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem riding on a borrowed donkey. You remember the story? As he came into town, the crowds were lining the street. They were throwing their garments down, paving the way for this one that they thought, at least for a little while, this was the Messiah. They were waving palm branches. They were greeting him as if he were some great dignitary, maybe even a king. And Scripture tells us that they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. A greeting reserved for only the greatest of leaders. That's the way it was just a few hours earlier. It looked as if they were ready to take this man and elevate him to the highest throne in the land. But now this cloud has enveloped the crowd that is gathered there. And the same people who were singing Hosanna in the highest, glorifying the one riding into the city on the borrowed donkey, are now singing a different song. They're shouting at the top of their voice, crucify him! Crucify him! There was a dark and heavy cloud of rejection hanging over this hill called Calvary. There's a second cloud, an ominous cloud, a cloud of ridicule. Stripped of his garments, in shame and disgrace, Jesus hangs naked before the crowd gathered there on that hill. And the soldiers, just to rub salt in an open wound, are standing at the foot of the cross, gambling for the right to claim the dying man's robes. Then in jest, they take a sign and nail it above his head, inscribed with the words, King of the Jews. It wasn't placed there for the purpose of acknowledging who he really was. It was a way of jeering at this man who was dying in agony on the cross. Then they began to shout, well, you saved others. Save yourself. They jeered it. If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. Let us see your power. They mocked him, saying, so you say you'll tear down the temple and build it back in 3 days. Let's see you do it. They mock him. And I just can't even bear to say the words, the unthinkable, the Scripture says, and they spat upon him. Can you think of anything more humiliating or degrading than to have someone spat upon you? There's a dark and a heavy cloud of ridicule. There's a dark menacing cloud of cynicism. Though those who had gathered at the foot of the cross that day had heard of his mighty deeds, they had witnessed with their own eyes his mighty miracles. Yet this cloud of cynicism was keeping them from seeing who it really was that they had nailed to the cross of Calvary. They announced their skepticism as they chided him. You saved others, now save yourself. Little did they know that victory was just hours ahead. They were cynical when they heard him cry out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." They jeered, thinking that Jesus was calling for the great prophet Elijah, saying, "Let's just wait. Let's see if he comes." It was a dark cloud of cynicism, skepticism, doubt that hovered over the hill that day. And I would say there was one other cloud that made it a dastardly dark hour. There was an overwhelming cloud of disappointment. Mark tells us that at the sixth hour, that would be noontime, the sun refused to shine and darkness covered the earth until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Many theologians and historians have speculated that it was at this point that God determined that he could no longer watch the grotesque picture of humanity as it treated his son with such disdain and disgrace. So ugly was the sin placed upon our Savior, my sin and your sin, that as the Father looked down from heaven and saw the horror, he turned out the light of the sun so that he wouldn't have to look at this garbage that was piled on the back of his beloved son. There was a cloud of disappointment, not in the actions of his son, but in the horrid actions of his creation of humanity. There was an overwhelming darkness of disappointment in the sins of his prized creation that were heaped upon the back of his dying son. There's an overwhelming darkness of disappointment. I don't suppose there's ever been a day as dark as the day that Jesus gave his life for me. As dark as the day Jesus gave his life for you upon the cross of Calvary. But there's a tragedy to the story. I believe that darkness still covers our land. I would ask you today, are you living in darkness, rejecting the light of the world that came to purchase your redemption? John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that has been made." And then he says, "And the light came into the world, but the world comprehended it not, for the world loved darkness." On the day that Christ died, darkness covered the earth from noon until 3, a symbol of the desperate need of mankind for a relationship with the light of Jesus Christ. Today, I would ask you, are you living in spiritual darkness? Is there a cloud of personal rejection that's keeping you from living in the light of our Savior's love? You see, I recognize that the Spirit of God calls all men to repentance. The Bible tells us God's not willing that any should perish, but that all men everywhere should come to repentance. And so today, if you're living outside a relationship with Jesus Christ, the light of the world, I can say with full confidence that today the Spirit of God is calling you into the light. And for you to sit there and decline his invitation is for you to continue in a life of darkness. The darkness of rejection. Jesus is calling you to the place of salvation. He's proven His love for you by dying on the cross of Calvary for you. He shed His life's blood so that you could have forgiveness of your sins, the hope, the promise of everlasting life, and to reject Him will lead you even further into the darkness and away from the light of Jesus. Is there a cloud of ridicule that's keeping you from seeing the pathway that Jesus wants you to travel for Him? Are you afraid to respond to His calling because someone might ridicule you? Someone might make fun of you? Is that what's keeping you from giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? Listen, I've been there. I remember as a young child hearing the voice of the Spirit calling me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can remember white-knuckling the theater chair in front of me, saying, I can't go down there. All of my friends will make fun of me. They'll laugh at me. They'll ridicule me. They'll mock me. And so rather than trusting Christ when I first heard Him call me at about the age of 12, I held on to that pew for 5 years before I gave Him my heart because I was afraid someone would make fun of me. Perhaps this morning, it's this dark cloud of ridicule that's keeping you from giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Listen, I finally came to the place where I said yes to Jesus. And the truth is, when He came into my heart and forgave me of my sins, and He became my Savior and my Lord, it didn't matter what anybody else thought of me. Let me tell you, to know that He loves me and that He's forgiven me, and then He's promised me everlasting life. Laugh at me all you want. I want the Father to smile at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't let the dark cloud of rejection continue to hover over your life. Don't let the dark cloud of ridicule block your way to this relationship with the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, please, please don't let the cloud of cynicism cause you to doubt the power of God and the sufficiency of His grace to meet your every need. I know we're living in a difficult era where so often religion is described as a crutch for weak people. The cynics rule and reign in our society, but the truth is, the Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. Let me tell you what I discovered as a young man. One step of faith in the direction that God leads you is all that's necessary. Because when you take that one step, He, by His divine grace and power, will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way. This morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're wondering, is it really worth it? Does it really make a difference? Do I really need that? You see, that's cynicism. The Bible says that God loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son so that if you would believe in Him, you wouldn't perish, but you'd have everlasting life. It was a dark and ominous day when they led Jesus up the Via Dolorosa to the top of that hill known as the place of the skull. It was a dark, ominous day when they nailed His hands and His feet to the cross of Calvary and He shed His life's blood for the redemption of mankind just like me and just like you. It was a dark and ominous day when Jesus cried out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it only grew darker as they continued to ridicule Him and mock Him, rejecting as He breathed His last and said, it's finished. The work of salvation was completed when Jesus breathed His last on the cross of Calvary. Your responsibility is to receive the gift He made available by His death on the cross of Calvary. I've got good news for you. The message ends here this morning, but the story continues. That dark day was translated into a bright morning when Jesus Christ came forth victorious over the grave. Next Sunday when we gather, we'll see a whole different picture as we celebrate the light of God and the victory that light experienced as He burst forth out of that dark tomb, shedding His life on all mankind for us to see the hope of eternity and the resurrection of all who believe. This morning, you've got a choice to make. Will you walk away in the glorious light of a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Or will you continue under the clouds of rejection and ridicule?